We'll start and we will make it quite quickly because I know most of the people here are from fellowship and you have an event to attend. I will be there too myself. So my name is Filiz Yılmaz. This is my first ICANN meeting, like some of you, as staff though. I'm the senior director of participation and engagement and I have taken this duty for about 1.5 months ago. And this presentation is called Remote Participation Services during ICANN meetings. This is an important pillar of the community interaction within ICANN meetings, and we want to make sure that the services are used to their best effect. And we also want to know your feedback about them because they are relatively new services. We have been doing this for not too long now. So the screen actually you are seeing is the Adobe Connect screen, and I will explain what that is. But it is one of those remote participation tools that we made available now for those people who want to use it, use the services. And so going through, and I have to make this a bit quick, but stop me, please, if you have questions. So the overview is basically why do we do this and how you do that. I will go through that very quickly. That is my aim. And, well, why remote participation? ICANN meetings are big. And as Janice has already told, for those who were already in this session in this room, getting here might be challenging at times. At the moment, there are some people who are really stuck, that I know, in the snowstorms in Europe because of the strikes. And we hope probably they will be using these services and still participate in the discussions here, although they are not here physically. So it's very important to broaden the inclusion possibilities of ICANN fora towards those people who cannot be in the premises physically. I think that is a very basic idea, and there is no real argument that you can put up against it. Face-to-face communication is very important, but nowadays, internet, after 3 decades of using it, reached to a point that it is very rich in providing us services, those tools that make us come to close and make the world even smaller. Besides from the effect of these tools bringing people together, even with long distances in between, they're also making things very cost effective. Obviously, sometimes you don't have the resources, you don't have the time, you can follow an ICANN meeting within your pace at your home, basically in your place. And ICANN is committed to provide these services and continue improving them from several different angles. First of all, our community really supports these ideas. Then our board is very committed to provide these as of the strategical plan that they're coming up and ideas that they are producing. There's a board committee called Public Participation Committee, 6 people specializing in focusing in public participation, and these tools have been developed or coming to this stage so far in the direction they are showing to the ICANN staff. And obviously, as staff, we are very devoted in making them improve so that you get the best out of them. The goals are, again, this is very straightforward in effect. We want to equalize the participation between those people who are on site at a meeting and also those people who are away connecting through their internet connection and participating in the meeting from their own place. We also want to maximize the access. What does that mean? At the moment, the internet connection, the speed, the quality of the connection, as you all know, they are not all the same in every part of the planet. Some parts of the world you have to work with low bandwidth, and some parts of the world you have better bandwidth and maybe stronger connections. Depending on that varying situation, the tools you may want to utilize can be also different. Recognizing that need, we are providing two separate groups of services. They all end up being the same. They're coming from the same resource, but they are kind of modular, if you like me to put it that way. So the user, according to their situation at that moment, they might be in an airport, I don't know, stuck in Madrid now, maybe due to the strikes, and they may have a, you know, reduced connection, then maybe they will only like to listen to the voice and the audio stream, while if they have a better connection at home, they could use the video as well. So this is the idea. So what do you need, basically, if you are connecting remotely and would like to participate from a distance, or even here, but you don't want to leave your hotel room, maybe, then what you need is, for low bandwidth, you need the minimum speed of 128 kilobits per second, and then you need a web browser. That's all you need, really. And our tools are working, thanks to my very smart engineer colleagues. They're working for most of the all of the browsers, web browsers. So what do you get if you're on, if you're using the low bandwidth? You get the live and recorded audio streams. You get the chat rooms, so you can, where you can interact with the, all the other participants that are connecting remotely, as well as the staff. They are most of the time they are attended and they are looked at, and you can get the live scribes scribing. I will go through all these screens to give you an idea what they look like. But basically, somebody is typing what I'm speaking now on the screen, and it's a stream of text, and you can get that. At the end of the meeting, post-meeting, we also put the transcripts and the presentations for download. We are doing our best, because sometimes presenters themselves can be late in providing their presentations, but we aim to have them actually before the meeting, so you can already download them and have an idea what in that session what will be presented. With high bandwidth, what you need is a little faster connection, and then you need to have a flash player, and then the web browser as well. So here, the difference is actually basically the video, which is eating up the most of the bandwidth, and that is done through a program called Adobe Connect, which you are seeing now on your screen. This is the screen you would get if you would be connecting through Adobe Connect to the session now, and now it's being broadcasted out there. And you can see the slide, and if there is a video feed, which will be happening in the public forum, for example, where there are no slides, but there will be some video feed because people will be speaking. And then you also see on the right-hand side, as you can see, if there would be some chats, it would be going on, as you see on the left-hand, is that right-hand? I always confuse, right. Right-hand corner, you see my colleague Robert Hoggart. For those of you who is new to the IRC, he's chatting there, as you can see, but he's doing his job, actually. He's not having fun. And this is the whole package. So if you have a better internet connection, what you can actually have a packet of things, and then it will be all in one window. So what you get is live and recorded audio streams, chat rooms, live scribes, transcripts, and real-time presentations. Because in the low bandwidth, you don't actually really see the flip through my presentation, but you just have the, you know, slides themselves. So how do you do it? How you can do it? Basically, I first time I was looking at this, I was first, I thought to myself, there are a bit too many different ways of doing it. Maybe that could be, you know, confusing at initially. But then Janice, she's the queen here of the remote participation for a while, she gave me that tip, just go to the schedule, and then it will make sense. So if you go to the meeting schedule, you already see what sessions will be remotely available, and what the possibilities are there, and what the tools are, and then it makes whole sense in one go. And then you can also check the session details themselves, and then you will see what is provided per session. So if you're interested, for example, in public forum, you can go there and see, okay, this is what I'm going to be seeing and this is what I'm going to be getting. And then you need to choose if you're going to use low bandwidth services or high bandwidth services. So basically checking the schedule, what I mean is what you're doing, even if you are not remotely there, but you are physically here. We all do go there to the meeting site and we check the schedule. And I don't know if it is too small to see, I apologize for that. But there is also a separate remote participation schedule that is provided on the meeting site. And if you go there, you will see all the sessions that are providing these services remotely. And if you click those links, you end up in the same place too. So it's like there are several ways of finding Rome, you know, we all meet there. Then you could also check the session details, and there you will see more specifically the services that are being provided. For example, in this snapshot, I took it from as an example from ICANN Public Forum, and for the low bandwidth, you will see the chat room separately, and then all the audio cast in different languages, because that session also receiving translation, interpretation. And then for the high bandwidth services, there's a different column. Now, if you look at the low bandwidth services, what you can do, listen to the audio cast, join the chat room, and monitor the Skype feed. Now, since these are low bandwidth services, they are modular. You can just choose to listen to the chat, listen to the audio feed, and then you may choose to join the chat, and then if you want, you can monitor the Skype feed as well. And they will look like this. Joining the chat, if you click on that link with the chat indication, you will end up with a chat room. This is an IRC window. Maybe some of you are already familiar. It's not very different than today's tools of, you know, the chats. You will see the participants on the right-hand corner, and then you will see what you're typing and others are typing. And these are per room, obviously. They are all linked from the sessions themselves. And you can also monitor the Skype feed. If you click on that related link, what you will have is a window where the Skype is basically word by word entering what the speaker is saying. So it will be a stream of text flowing in front of you, and sometimes it's a bit confusing if you try to follow everything from there, but we realize we are a very international community here. There are different languages are being spoken and an accent as well. I mean, I'm sounding, you know, interesting to you with my English right at now. I'm from Turkey. And So these scribes are helping us out there because they're professionals to go see through those all different accents. It's just to make it easier, a little easier for those who may want to look at the scribing. So, now, this is the low bandwidth. So if you want to use the high bandwidth, you basically click on one link, and it's not modular anymore because you have a strong connection and you get your package of your screen of Adobe Connect, and you get this, what we are seeing now, actually. And it is basically a web conferencing tool. And it allows live meetings like we are having now and presentations to be shared online at the time as live. One thing you may want to do is to test your computer and your connection if it is good, if you should be choosing maybe low bandwidth or high bandwidth. And you can do this from this link that I provided there. It will run a test on your system, and at the end it will tell you, you know, if you're okay to use it or will there be problems. And at the end, according to the problem, you may choose how to solve it. Sometimes it can't solve, obviously, if your connection is quite low, you know. But if there's a hardware problem on your PC or a software problem, it may give an indication to you what you may want to do. Right, so this is how you join a meeting. After the testing, you just basically click on that link, and then you end up with this view. Now, at the moment, we have this, and you can see how the users at the end, participating remotely, are seeing what we are having here. But on my slide, I took it from the public forum, where there is no presentations, but people are just making comments, and there is feedback, interaction based on feedback. So as you can see, there is video there. That will be enabled on that session on the day. At the moment, we don't have cameras here. So, fine, watching and hearing and getting the information. But, for example, public forum is an interactive forum. You can post also your comments. How do you do that? If you're on low bandwidth, you can use the chat room. Those will be monitored already. And in most of the sessions, chat room is enough for you. All you need to do is to type, you know, mark your question so that my colleague who is monitoring it can know that, oh, this needs to be spoken out, this needs to be read out on the mic. So they will go to the mic and speak up for you. But some of the sessions where there is high volume, like the public forum, we also provide forms. That makes it easier for both for people who wants to comment on or provide feedback on, and it also makes much easier for this end to read out loud on the, in the premises. So we've been using these forms for the last two meetings again as well, both of them I believe, and these are going to be linked from the related sessions as well. So you will see a link. If you want to post a comment or a question about this topic, please click here. And when you click it, you will see this forum form, and you will need to enter your name and your question or comment and then submit it. And once it is submitted, you will get a confirmation and your question will be read out probably by me on Thursday on the mic for public forum. Okay, this is our checklist. Now, remote participation is there to get people in, but that doesn't mean, like I said, you cannot test it out. Please, if you are interested, and I hope you are interested, check out our tools, even here, using the connection that is provided during the meeting. For example, you may be having a break from another, you know, meeting, but there is another parallel session, and you may just want to quickly check what's going on in the other session. So, and if you have feedback about that, let us know. But this is basically your checklist. You can use the low bandwidth or high bandwidth services. And the main thing is really, we want to encourage you to interact with the other people on the chat. This is the main idea. We are a community here. We are together to communicate, and this is just a tool. So these tools will make you have that interaction within a virtual meeting environment. So you are still part of the meeting even if you are not here, or if you are here but you are not in the session that you are not there, you know, that kind of thing. So there is one thing you need to, although we want to encourage everybody, and this is not a big deal. I mean, we all understand, but this is a social conduct, how we interact with each other. These are outlined in the rules of behavior, and it's basically encouragement towards respectful behavior towards others' ideas. Because it's an open forum, we are a multi-stakeholder environment, we have all our different interests, but we are here for internet, and we try to communicate with each other. Sticking up with some certain rules will just enable us make that happen much easier. And these are outlined in this link I have provided. But yeah, like I said, the basics thing is respect others, respect other ideas, and maybe try to, you know, push on the knob of active listening. This is also very important to be able to contribute meaningfully. Now, about the feedback, about the tools, please write us. We really appreciate your feedback. These tools are for you. You can reach us at participate@icann.org, or you can use the chat room. that you are in. If you have something immediate, just say it there and we'll find out from, we will follow up from there. For the post-meeting stuff, we archive everything because we are running a, you know, we are forming up a very transparent fora here all together. And presentations, audio files, transcripts, they're all uploaded. So if you have missed one session, you can still go and watch the video. You can still go and listen to the audio stream from that session. Now, AC room test page, these are some links for you as a reference. Because this presentation is already on the website. If you go there, you can find it. In order to test your system. And explanation of remote participation services and concepts, there is a separate link for that. Again, provided link will give you more information. I mean, this is just a short presentation to show you what is available and how you can use it. But if you go there, you will see more information. So that might be at your under your hand. And thank you very much for sticking with us so far. It has been a, you know, rather technically challenged session due to a room change in the last minute, which we had no control of. So I'm very happy that you stick with us. Thank you. And if you have any questions or comments, we can take now. And we are already also taking it as the from the remote participation remotely. No? Okay. Anything? Okay. Do we have a... Why don't we? Just don't have it.
Okay, so I actually have only one comment regarding the remote participation. I think I said that in Brussels, but I like to repeat. It's not only the access to people who cannot come here, but you have another way which is related to accessibility. You bring people with disabilities also. When you have transcripts, you go for deaf people. When you have the audio, you go for blind people. So that's something yes. I've learned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, during the way I was trying to talk to Phyllis a little earlier, but we have an IGF also, the remote participation, and a working group with volunteers who are trying to bring that. We just discovered on the way about people with disabilities and how not only access but accessibility is very important. And a second thing, I'm going to talk with you later on, it's the hubs ideas, which are local meetings that we start building on. In 2008, it was only 8 hubs. They are local meetings, usually with ISOC chapters or universities. They make the video and the chat, they participate, but they are in a room and they can share with the conference. So it's really interesting. This year, for example, we have over 30 hubs around the world, and they were the total participants, 1,500. So there were a lot of people. In one place, there were like 150 people watching the IGF, and I think it's a good idea, even for ICANN, they can spread in other place. So just my comment.
Thank you, Rachel. I mean, for your first comment, very quickly, it's very important. We sometimes do things and we don't realize the, you know, extra benefits about that. So thanks for the reminder. And for the second, again, yes, there are so many things we can do. And now at the moment we are taking, you know, focusing on these tools. But yes, this is another thing that we can explore in the future. So thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, the fellowship people, you are requested to be following Janice because you're running out of time for your event. For the others, yes, I'll continue. You have a question?
more than a question, it's a comment. It's, I was very interested in following your presentation, so I start to try to connect. But I was not able because I'm using a Linux platform, and you are only working with Mac and Windows platforms. So we promote the use of open software, open standards. So it will be very nice if you can consider to have also a platform where everybody can participate. So that's my comment.
Not at all. Thank you. All right. I think I'm losing my audience now, naturally. I'm ending this session. Thank you, everybody, if there was anybody participating remotely too.